Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Hands On Safety. And today we are going to be talking about awareness and awareness of your surroundings, awareness of your situation. So I have with me today, as usual, George.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
And Megan.
Hello, everyone.
So, George, why don't you tell us a little bit about the difference between being aware of your situation and being aware of your surroundings?
Okay. Well, it's not as hard as it seems. Think about every day you're always aware of your surroundings, though, with noises that you hear, smells that, you know, you smell, you know, things that you see, the typical everything, everyday things. But when situational awareness is being aware of the situation that you find yourself in, the position you find yourself in regards to going about your daily business, traveling, being home. So at my martial arts school, I teach my students some principles of self-defense, and most of these are based on your situation awareness. And, you know, the first thing is actually I tell my students awareness, identify potential threats and dangers. Avoidance, you know, steering clear of potential threats and dangers. De-escalation, taking care of the situation and bringing the threat level down by verbally talking to someone, maybe by, you know, your physical gestures. And physical contact being your last resort. So the easy way of thinking about it, it's also the five W's and the how, who, what, where, when, why, and how. You know, you use that basically when you were learning how to write paragraphs. The same thing, you're writing a paragraph for your safety. You want to think about it that way. So that's probably about the best way to think about it. It's your surroundings are generally everything that occurs on a regular basis. And awareness is being, it's seeing these things as possible threats to your safety.
So what kind of things should you be doing to prepare yourself when you're going out, or is this even something that only applies to being away from home?
No, it doesn't. I mean, you have a lot of those individuals who are scammers. You know, so you know, being aware of when you're online, you know, certain programs that you go to, certain apps, people sending emails and giving you calls. I mean, I've been I wouldn't say a victim, but I've almost been scammed a few times when I started my business. You know, I had to be very cautious and aware of what they were trying to do by asking them questions, and things just didn't match up. So no, it doesn't have to be when you're leaving home. It could be anything nowadays, especially if people have access to you through social media.
And I've had a few situations, you know, certainly you get phone calls on a daily basis of people trying to get you to buy something, sell something, make you think that you're in trouble because you haven't paid something, always trying to get information from you in some way, shape, or form.
Yep, I've had that a lot of times as well.
Right. Definitely. So something always to be aware of whenever you answer the phone, if you choose to answer those unknown calls or numbers you don't recognize, which I frequently have to do, especially now working from home. I never know if someone who's calling me is a veteran trying to get in touch with me from a number I don't recognize, or something to do with work. So I've been answering a lot of those calls more than I normally would.
And that's kind of hard especially if you're for business purposes, you're answering your phone to calls you may not recognize, and, you know, people are trying to get at you. It's just, you know, so it doesn't have to necessarily be safety in regards to your physical safety, but your mental well-being. You know, if someone's able to access your financial, your accounts and such things like that, or your personal emails, that can mess with you on a different level. You know, something you really never talk much about, you know, your mental well-being in regards to your own personal mental safety.
Megan, what kind of things do you do when you're going out to prepare yourself as far as, you know, just kind of getting in a mindset of awareness before you leave the house? And what do you do while you're out? How do you stay aware of things?
So usually when I go outside, I kind of just, well, first off, before I leave the house, I make sure I'm actually awake.
That helps. Coffee always helps.
It really, really does.
Should never leave home without it.
That should be on a shirt.
Right.
But, you know, when I go outside, even if I'm super with it or I'm not so with it that day, you know, I will stop and I'll listen for a minute. I'll, you know, figure out what's going on around me. Oh, it's raining. Okay, I need to adapt to this because I hear, you know, loud cars on the street because the roads are wet or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that definitely makes things more difficult sometimes.
Yeah, it very much does. You know, I just make sure I'm aware of the situation of what I'm out in. And if there's something going on, I make sure I move away from it if I can. For example, this morning, I went outside and there was a guy down the street at the train station yelling profanities. And he sounded like he was coming towards me. And I went the opposite direction. I mean, I didn't have to go his direction anyway, but
right.
I just was like, okay, I'm not going to put myself in a situation. I'm going to, you know, move away from that. So yeah, I just do, you know, those things. I'm always paying attention for the most part to what I'm doing. As I've said on previous shows, I do work in a, you know, a sketchy part of town. So I have to be on alert when I'm downtown is there is some weirdos out there. So if it's at night, I usually try to make sure I'm on team talk with somebody so that people leave me alone since I'm wearing an AirPod and I look like I'm crazy talking to myself.
So you fit right in.
I fit right into that part of town. The only thing that I'm not is drunk. So but
right, well, stay home when you do that.
Right. Or make sure I'm with somebody.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, I just I'm just aware of my situation. And if I'm not in the best of state, I'll take a cab or I'll, you know, call my mom and see if she can come get me or whatever. You know, I'm just, it's important to be aware of your situation and be aware of your abilities too.
Right. And that's a good point to make is that if you are overly tired or stressed or just distracted, that it may not hurt to have a good alternative to traveling as far as if you're walking or, you know, maybe taking the bus or taking a cab, if that's a possibility. I know some of the things that I do when I'm out, I take the bus to work almost every day. And, you know, when I'm approaching the bus stop and it's early in the morning during certain parts of the year, it's still dark out. And, you know, as I'm approaching that bus stop, I'm paying attention to not only where the traffic is as I'm walking down the side of the road, but who else might be there, whether I hear them shuffling around or whether I catch the scent of cigarette smoke or cologne or perfume, trying to really pay attention to those kinds of things so that I'm not surprised. I had a situation about a year ago where a gentleman started taking the bus and he was playing on his phone. And the first day he surprised me. I did not realize he was there until I got just about right up on him. And it was a shock. And then a couple of days later he was playing on his phone and I actually surprised him. So we started talking after that, and he turned out to be someone that worked at the VA with me, but so it was fine. But you know, just, you never know who's going to be at that bus stop or who's right. going to be on the bus when I get on the bus. So I'm very cautious about listening to music or, you know, putting in headphones and not being able to hear people getting on and off the bus and what's going on.
You two actually touched on two really good points. One, maybe talking about when you walk around, you know, you have your earbuds, and we discussed some stuff before. You said you usually have one of them and not both, which is never good to do, especially if you're trying to be aware of your situation, because it impedes your process of hearing, you know, as well as, you know, for those seeing or smelling, whatever you sense you may be using. Mm-hmm. And there's a story I heard about recently. I was trying to find it, about a woman in New York. She engaged in a conversation with a gentleman on the street, just a passerby. It was recently, and was somewhat friendly and all that. And then followed her down the street a little bit and came from between two cars, grabbed her, dragged her to the corner, and sexually assaulted her. Mm. Hey, sometimes you just never know.
Right.
And some people can disarm you by their presence. You know, being friendly, being helpful. I think about what was his name? Was it Jeffrey Dahmer? He would, and he said he was a good-looking guy. He would, talk to women.
Manson, I think.
No, Dahmer would do this as well, I guess. But he would get their attention and say, "Oh, I need help with something," and he'd get them into the truck.
Right.
You know. I think it was Jeffrey Dahmer. I'd have to double look. But you know, there are individuals who very charismatic, and they use that to their advantage. So you need to be aware of that. And so, example, talking about some guy in the street, Megan. My mother was in New York City, and you know, people are starting to get out now. New York's partially opened up after all this COVID situation. She's going to the store. So there's a guy walking behind her and looked like he was homeless from what she told me. And he said something. She paid him no mind. All right. My mom's been in New York for like 50 years. So she's a Southern girl with New York to the core. Mm. And paid him no mind. Went to the store and noticed that he also came in the store. She said she went down the aisle, one of the aisles, and to see if he was following, so she could observe him. And she said that she alerted the person in the store before she left. This person walked in and possibly, might be aware of him. And before she left, my mom said they were engaged in a conversation that was kind of violent. The guy said something would hit the lady, and she said, "I wish you would." So in New York State of mind, it wouldn't end up well. I'm sure he would have gotten his behind beat. But the whole thing is, my mother was aware of what was going on.
Right.
In the situation. And one thing, she and I discussed was that you've had a number of people who have been homeless, who are homeless, some that may require some psychological evaluation, that may be on medication, were unable to get the help during these last several months.
Right.
But now these people are coming out. So, I mean, you may have encountered that individual while you were walking down the street. So something to be aware of. I'm not saying that person, everyone who's homeless has psychological problems, but there are different problems that they may have.
And you just don't know.
You just don't know. And so that's being aware.
Right.
It's, being aware of the situation where I said, you know your surroundings, but being aware of something that seems a little bit off. So, when our conversation that we had before about this topic, I had researched and found some stuff, this Cooper's color code, designed by a gentleman named Lieutenant Colonel John Cooper. Jeff Cooper was a retired Marine officer, and he was developing the modern techniques for handgun shooting. And what he introduced was this concept to law enforcement about shooting. And so what I did is I add some numbers to it because all colors. So the color codes, it's white, yellow, orange, red, and sometimes people added a black, which I did. So there's five levels going from, five to one. So kind of like blasting off, right? So I'm getting to real quick. So with the color code and with the adjustments to it, I'd say level one, condition white, as they call it, that's just being home, being relaxed, not having really any concern for anything. You're behind locked doors, you're amongst friends, you're calm. That's your normal posture for most people. Just that's how you should be. You should be relaxed and all that. And then you have level four, condition yellow, right? It's still being relaxed, but now you're aware of something. And give an example. Say that maybe you heard some noise outside, a barking dog or something. Now, dogs bark all the time, but maybe there might be something to, why are they barking? So you start questioning. So again, you go to the who, what, where, when, and why, and how, and your analysis of, these codes and how to, safeguard yourself. So you say you're relaxed, but you're aware that there might be something to be concerned about. You know, you hear something that's kind of off, but it doesn't mean there's something detrimental to you. You have like level three, your orange condition. That means that there's possibly is something wrong. So now you hear a barking dog continuously. You know, so no longer are you relaxed. Now you're more in tune and more aware there's a potential threat. And, you know, so now you're have a heightened awareness. It's not a threat identified as a threat, but it's still that potential. And you have condition red. Condition red, which is level two, is that you have identified that maybe that dog is barking because there's someone walking between houses or something. I'm just giving this as an example. And now you have a really heightened, so what do? What's my reaction going to be? Am I going to encounter the individual? Am I going to call the police? Am I going to alert my neighbors? And so your condition red or, you know, two is when you're actually taking some type of action towards it. It could be actual physical confrontation. It could be, you know, non-physical, calling some for assistance. And then you have level one or condition black. That's usually like after the fact. What have you done? You engage the individual, call the police, you call other people. And that's when you have to start looking at, okay, what's my next step? So those are just some ways of looking at it. It'd be like mental games. I had a friend of mine, and one day we were at a party. It was sadly, it was a Christmas party. And we played this game like, I can take them. You know, so looking at people that you could just tell by people's demeanor, by their behavior, who would falter under a stressful condition, you know, who would not. So you mentally play these games. It's called projection. And so as you travel, you role play. You play this game like, okay, you know, you feel something's kind of off. You think, what would I do in this situation? How would I handle it? Where am I going to go? And so that's just about the best way. But like I said, the who, the what, where, when, why, and how. It's just a great way before you leave the house. You know, figure out what am I going to be doing? Where am I going? Who am I going with? What am I going to do when I'm going to get there? How am I getting back? You know, be able to answer all these questions for your own personal safety and concerns. You have the situation beat. You can never be prepared 100% of the time. When I was, you know, in the Army, I was in Iraq, which, you know, everyone has a plan to go out the gate. 5 minutes out the gate, your plan went to crap. You know, mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. That's just called life. You can plan it all day, but there's always that one factor that you have no control over. That's just how things are. But at least, you know, like Megan said, if you had to go somewhere, you know, maybe call your mom or whatever, call for a ride, take a cab, take a share riding, you know, service, whatever you need to do, but always have an alternate plan just in case something goes awry when it comes to your safety.
And I'd say it never hurts to, you know, you get those feelings sometimes of uneasiness where maybe you're just not sure or something's just not quite right. Learning to trust those, even if you're wrong, it doesn't hurt to take yourself out of that situation or that area if you feel something's off. Because even if you're wrong, you're wrong, and you left it. You just didn't need to, but it's just, you know, a precaution. And if you were right, then it was the right thing to do to leave. And if you were wrong, it didn't hurt anything.
Well, just don't be a Karen about it. Okay. That's all, you know, that's just, you know, just don't be a Karen about it. I totally agree. So when I teach women self-defense classes, a lot of times I hear from women, that actually, you know, they've been victimized, you know, and they've survived the situation. And a lot of them will tell me, I had this feeling. You know, I've heard that quite often. I had this feeling, but I didn't go with it. Yeah. So if you have a feeling, if you get embarrassed, you get embarrassed, but I'd rather be embarrassed.
Absolutely.
And then dead. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Say blunt as that. So everyone has these feelings. Somebody doesn't feel right. So give a quick story. When I was younger, you know, I grew up in the Bronx, and I was in high school. We were with some friends, and we'd go, all we did, we didn't drink. We ran track. That was our thing. You know, we went to races. We went to parties. That was it. So we went to this one house party. I'm not sure whose home it was. I'm not sure. There's a, you know, how we got connected with it, but it was a small apartment. I mean, we were there early. There was like four of us. And we get there and walking around. I see these kids, you know, a little bit younger, maybe the same age, maybe looked a little bit younger, maybe a year or so. Kept looking at us in a weird way. I didn't feel comfortable at all. My friend comes out of the kitchen where the DJ was, and he's like, hey, we got to go. And party hadn't even started yet. I go, yeah, let's go. All four of us left, and we you know, we confabbed afterwards and say, hey, you know, those kids were looking at us kind of hard. And my buddy goes, yeah, DJ had a sawed-off shotgun. We found out later on that evening that there was a gunfight at the house. So if you know what right looks like,
right.
Go with it. Something doesn't feel right. It probably isn't right. You know, there was just two different rooms, two different feelings, same result. So sure. I always 100%, if you feel something is not right, it probably isn't right. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. You know, no harm, no foul. So
that actually reminds me of a situation. I was just thinking about it a little bit earlier in the show. I was still in high school at the time, and we had just had a big snowfall. It was probably about a good 10 inches of snow. And, you know, I needed to go out to get something. And not all the sidewalk. It was like a Sunday afternoon. So, the sidewalks hadn't been done. And it was just really super snowy. And I had my first guide dog at this point. And I got lost. You know, like I was on the street, but I couldn't tell. You know, I thought the traffic was too close and I just couldn't find the sidewalk again. And somebody stopped and said, you know, got out of their car and they're like, hey, miss, you know, I'm a police officer. Are you lost? Do you need any help? And I said, I am lost. And I just can't find the sidewalk. And then he's like, oh, where do you live? And I'm like, just down the street. And he's like, do you need a ride home? And I'm like, I've watched way too much Criminal Minds for this. No. but it got me wondering, you know, how do I know if this person is for real? You know, how do I know this person is actually a police officer who is who they say they are? So that situation, I ended up, because I was able to see the outline of a building briefly, and so I asked the person, you know, is that the Shoppers Drug Mart over there? And he's like, yep. And I said, okay, I know exactly where I am now. So he was able to get me back on the sidewalk, and I was good to go. He said he would follow me home to make sure I got home okay, but I don't know if he actually did.
Right.
But, you know, it just made me... talking about being aware of your surroundings, you know, I, you know, assessed my situation and I think I made the right call. Like, he didn't give me the weird feelings or anything, but I'm overly cautious about these things, right?
Right.
So I was just thinking about that. So.
Right. And yeah, you were in a situation where you could walk away and not take that ride. And right. It never hurts because you don't have a way of knowing. I mean, maybe there's ways you could tell, you know, if you have some vision, you may be able to see the lights on top of their car, or you may hear their radio. Mm-hmm. There may be things about them as they're walking or moving that give you an indication that they could be telling the truth, but it never hurts to just be safe. And
apparently they're actually here. I don't know if it's the same elsewhere, but police officers, their badges are supposed to have braille on them.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
They're supposed to what?
Have braille on them.
Really?
Okay. I'd really not like to get that close to someone to find out, though.
as you were telling your story, I was thinking about that. Well, you can touch their badge, but realistically, a person who's a perpetrator will probably want you to get close anyway. So that's not a good thing to do. You know, you can't say, hey,
right.
Let me touch your gun. Well, cause if he's a criminal, he might have a gun too. That's not good. you don't want to go, hey, can you engage your taser for me so I can hear it? I mean, so certain things that would not work in your, is it the best for you?
Right.
I suppose you could ask them to throw their badge to you and, you know, at your feet or something.
Right.
But
it could be a quarter. I don't know. It's like a big quarter. I don't know.
As soon as I bend over to see what it is, like, bam.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, again, maybe just erring on the side of not knowing for sure.
Now, that made me think of something you tell in that story. I know in Washington, D.C., they have a number of officers that are trained in American Sign Language to engage with, you know, the hearing impaired community, which I think is great. More agencies to pick up on that because, you know, a lot of times there are people who may be hearing impaired and they don't know what the police officer is saying and officers getting agitated because, for instance, not listening to me or they can't hear. You know, it's a lack of understanding. I think the same thing for those who are visually impaired or blind. It needs to be something, or someone needs to approach law enforcement and say, hey, this is a situation where someone who is blind, how you can interact with them and confirm your identity, you know, to them without, you know, without them getting scared. And so they know that you are there to help them. So that'd probably be a good thing to kind of, you know, look into as a way of pushing that. Because it's real easy to say, hey, I'm something that I'm not, you know.
Sure.
It's so easy.
No,
so, hey, guys, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah. What kind of guys you be going out with? But I mean,
don't
but
to, alone.
But like your story was talking about, you mentioned two different things at the same time, you know, situation awareness or SA, because actually SA is actual a field where people actually perform a service in businesses, teaching situation awareness, especially when it comes to corporate type of entities, you know, airlines and factories. So they do teach this, and they have individuals who actually monitor this stuff. So you talked about situation awareness and situation, being aware of your surroundings, two different things, because you knew the area you're kind of familiar with the area that you were in. You got disoriented. And then there's a new scenario that was applied to it being a person approaching you. Now your situation awareness kicks in, you know, because no longer were you in control of the surrounding that you're in. You had a situation that was injected into it that you had to take care of and then identify as a potential threat, you know. So on the scale, that probably would have been level 2 or condition red, or, you know, a level 3, you know, condition orange. Where you're not relaxed anymore. You have a potential concern and you address it, you know, by following your gut instinct, you know, by getting the information from the individual, said the police officer, and, you know, doing what you need to do to take care of you. Good job.
And one thing that I've tried hard to work on, because this has been a problem for me since I lost my sight, was judging how far away someone is from you when you're interacting with them.
That is extremely difficult.
Talking to them on the street or, you know, in a store, or in a building, having that idea of how far they are away from you. And even though I'm not the best judge of that, I can at least get an idea of if that person is moving toward me as they're talking or trying to get closer or moving away. And so even if I don't know exactly how far away they are, and I could, I suppose, sweep my cane out and, you know, whack them in the ankle and there you are. Mm-hmm. But I've, you know, known of people that have had more trouble come from that, you know, that they accidentally touched someone with their cane and set that person off.
It's when you use your cane on them, but that's a whole different subject matter.
Yeah, we'll cover that in another episode. That's a whole other.
So yeah, it's a whole training event thing. Right there.
Yep.
And it totally depends on that kind of a situation. Like, you know, judging how far away somebody is from you, it totally just depends on your surroundings again. Like, are you in an alley? Are you on the street? Are you in an echoey store? Are you
right
in a train car? Are you in a full train car? You know, all these situations. So it is kind of hard, especially like on a train platform, or, you know, like there's one train platform here that I go to once in a while that it's underground and it's extremely echoey. Like,
yeah,
you can't tell how far somebody away from you is, you know, like it's quite deceiving, if you will.
Well, right. In the world of COVID-19, it's going to be 6 feet away. So estimate 6 feet away. Pay back. You should be six feet away.
I figure my cane is 5 feet long, and if I'm holding it at an angle, it's about 3 feet out in front of me. So if I can touch you with it, you're too close.
You're too close.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would think that someone beside it would, adhere to the fact that you have a cane and like, you know what, maybe I'll back up a little bit, instead of, you're not deaf, so I don't need to get into your face, So, but it's still ignorance on the part of those of us that are sighted. We don't, a lot of us, we just don't know. I still don't know. But that's one good thing about our program. We're trying to provide a little insight to everyone.
Absolutely. Megan, when you're traveling by train, are there transit employees around that you can get to know? Do you see the same ones all the time, or do you never see any employees at the train stations or transit points or even on the trains themselves?
So, to answer your question, Leslie, there are not really any officers around that I'm aware of. Sometimes I will hear a walkie-talkie on the platform, and I'll go, oh, that's a transit or a police officer or, a peace officer or something. I'll go, okay, cool, they're over there, whatever. But when I'm on the train, especially at night, I try to get in the first car if I can, because... Well, first off, I know where the emergency buttons are.
Nice.
And
very good.
Also, I know exactly where the driver's door is to get into the driver's apartment. So if I were to, have a problem, I could either find one of those emergency buttons, or if I'm right there by the door, because sometimes I will stand right at the front of the train.
Mm-hmm.
His door is, closer than... the emergency button itself. So, I can knock frantically on the door if I need,
Right.
And if he sees my dog and me, he'll probably clue in, hopefully. But I do actually need to, and it's on my list of things to do. I need to see if I can find a list of where all the help buttons are at the train stations. Because I know there's a number of them at each station, but they just have different locations.
Right.
I know where some of them here at my train station are after I almost walked into a fight a few years ago.
Okay.
I was literally like two or three feet away from it until I realized what was going on, and I backed away up. And then a friend showed me after, because I was pretty shook about it. But it's on my list of things to do to find out where those are.
And it might be worth, especially if you know any orientation and mobility instructors, that might be something they already have access to.
That is actually an idea.
It is a good one.
I do have connections.
There you go. good place to start, at least. I know of course, this is a benefit of living in a smaller area, is I've made it a point to get to know as many of the bus drivers as possible. I have one or two that won't speak to me or just aren't as friendly. But most of the drivers, they know me. Employees of businesses in my area know me very well. I walk in the door and, somebody I know more than likely will walk up to me and say something. Cab drivers, Uber and Lyft drivers, I've tried to get to know as many of them in my area as possible. And that way, if something does happen, there's generally someone in my area who knows me. That's probably looking out for me on some level, or that I know I can call on if I need to.
I actually have, in the past, when I was going to school and I was taking a certain bus route every day, going around the same route, depending on where I was going, I did have a few drivers that do know me from that route. And I still, even if I go back to that route, because it was in my old neighborhood, they'll recognize me. They don't necessarily know my name, but they know me. You know,
right.
They recognize me from when I went to high school, or, you know, different things like that. So it's kind of nice to know, kind of have the idea of, like, if somebody actually recognizes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've actually had that in several stores that I've been to. You know, there's a grocery store, you know, that I sometimes go to, and they're like, "Oh, hey, Megan, how are you doing?" You know, or, you know, like, the pharmacy, they're like, "Hey, Megan, how's it going?" You know, everybody recognizes me. So that's kind of nice, too.
It is. And it also, whenever I interact with people, even in my apartment complex or just on the street, I will say hi to them and engage them in some way just to, so they know that I'm aware they're there.
Right. Yeah, I will do that too.
We had a gentleman here in our complex who thought it was, I don't know if he thought it was funny or a challenge or entertaining, older gentleman who tried on several occasions to see how close he could get without you knowing he was there.
Oh, that's creepy.
And I several times said something to him, and I did at some point tell him that if he snuck up on me like that again, he could get hurt. And he has now, if I see him, he will, you know, he'll say hey to me from a distance, but I'm always listening for his dog, because he's usually walking the dog around, and and I'll try to make sure I say hey to him first. But he's backed off now that he knows that I know he's around. But
I do that in the apartment building hallway here when I don't know where exactly that person is. I know there's something or somebody there, but I don't know what or who. I will say hello, you know, and
right.
I'll smile and wave. And, you know, sometimes they'll respond, sometimes they'll grumble and respond, sometimes not. But it's also, it helps me, actually. Not only am I being nice, but it helps me get an idea of exactly where they are. Or, you know, down in the garbage and recycling area, it's kind of echoey.
Right.
So you can't always tell exactly how far somebody is away from you, where they are. And this whole 6 feet away thing these days, it's just like, well, I don't want to get within 6 feet of anybody. Somebody's going to get mad at me.
Right.
I don't mean it, but someone's going to get mad at me. So, you know, it's a good thing to do. It's, you know, you say hello and smile to somebody, it might brighten up their day. And you also find out where they are. It's a win-win.
There you go.
And they don't have to know that you're secretly
exactly
getting information, just that you're a nice person. So it works out.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
What? Okay. I'll stop talking now.
Well, guys, any final thoughts on this subject before we wrap things up?
No, my only thing is, I just think that just being aware that your personal safety, your situation awareness, it starts before you walk out the door. That's for anyone. You need to, you know, think about what you're going to be doing, where you're going to be going, who you're going to be meeting, how you're going to get there, how you're going to get back. These things need to be answered before you actually walk out the door. And that's probably one way to protect yourself is being proactive.
And use those apps if you need any help.
That's right. those apps are right. And just letting people know where, you know, letting somebody know where you're going, what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's pretty important.
You know, well, you don't have to put it on Facebook or Twitter, but let somebody know.
It absolutely.
Totally agree.
With that being said, I think that is all for today, and we would love to hear from our listeners, so you can email us at feedback@handsonsafety.net. You can follow us on Facebook, look for Hands on Safety Podcast, and you can follow us on Twitter as well, @hands_safety. And we look forward to bringing y'all another great episode full of information next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. See you next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.